going on, everybody? Welcome on in to the best seat at the track, that being the Front Stretch Podcast. No, this voice is not Mr. Party People himself, Davey Siegel. I'm not even half of what Mr. Party People himself is. I, however, am Brian Nolan, co-host of Stock Car Scoop every Friday and every Sunday on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and wherever you can find this podcast as well. Alongside is my co-host of that podcast, that being Adam Cheek. Adam, we're gonna dive in to recap Atlanta and just the uniqueness that we saw, and we are going to preview Circuit of the Americas. So let's wave the green flag.
Boogity, boogity, boogity! Let's go racing, boys!
Green flag is waving. Circuit of the Americas is coming up with our preview. But Adam, let's dive into what we saw at Atlanta. First and foremost, before we dive into our analysis, your initial thoughts of what happened. William Byron led the race. I saw from Aaron Bearden on Twitter, this was kind of like a diet version of Daytona and Talladega. You had like regular Coca-Cola or Pepsi being Daytona, Talladega, Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi being this, because it was a smaller track, but they still ran in a pack. So your initial thoughts, as we are just a little bit over 48 hours from viewing what we saw first mile and a half super speedway.
Well, we talked about a little bit on the scoop as well. And I think the main point we came away with is this isn't something we want to see every week. I think I personally came off enjoying it a little more than you did. Again, not something we want to see every week, but for what it was, it's super speedway racing on a mile and a half. You're not going to see the kind of runs that these guys are getting. You're not going to see that they get at super speedways. You're not going to see, you know, massive crashes, but we still had that feeling about it. We had the line where you couldn't pass under it, and it was a lot of fun to watch. It was unique is probably the best word I can come up with, because we don't see that kind of racing typically at Atlanta. Last year, we had a couple of really great finishes and great late race battles. This time, they were double file, it felt like, for a majority of the race, with a couple of times where they ended up in a single file train here and there. So I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to the second race at Atlanta this year, see what these teams have learned and how that changes how the race unfolds. But it was a lot of fun. That's as much as any of us can hope for, right? It was an entertaining race and seemed to be a decent debut for this new configuration.
It was definitely unique, Adam. And I think what I took away from it was that we didn't know the outcome before the finish line. Even with the lap to go, we still didn't know. And I think for me personally, Adam, I don't want to see this every week. I still like the actual racing aspect. And sure, if it's just like a one-off, like we see at Bristol Dirt or something, okay with that, but I don't want to see this at every single Texas or Charlotte or Kansas or some of the mile and a half tracks that are a little bit lacking and just the luster of the excitement that we see from racing week in and week out. Because look at Las Vegas was great, and we saw it not be great for a long time, and we come here this a couple weeks ago and it was fantastic racing because of this new car and this new package. So with that being said, Adam, I don't want to see it every week, but if it's just like a once a year thing, I know we have two dates at Atlanta, so twice a year thing, I guess I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like mixing in different tracks and everything, like Bristol, one of the races gets changed to a dirt race, you know, sure, whatever. That's something new. That's something exciting. And as for the super speedways, you know, there's been people wanting mile and a half to be tinkered with, a couple of them in particular. You know, some people wanting Atlanta to be changed up, Texas changed up. And to have kind of a conglomerate of a shorter track race, a mile and a half, with the kind of super speedway racing, it's an interesting combination. That's the best word, along with unique, is that it's interesting to watch it unfold in front of us. And it wasn't like it was a disastrous debut for this configuration. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do when they go back to Atlanta later this summer.
Now, Adam, we saw a winner that we haven't seen in quite a while, that being William Byron, third career win for him, first time in over a year. Last win was in Homestead, Miami, the third race of the season. What do you take away from this, from him winning, Adam? Do you take away saying this was much needed because two out of his three teammates already won this season? Or do you think that his time was coming and he's going to get quite a bit of more victories down the road? Or is it a little bit of both even?
I'm going to go a little bit of both. I'm going to go right down the middle because it's a much needed boost for him this season. You've got Alex Bowman winning, Kyle Larson winning. Byron was one of the first Hendrick drivers to win last year as well. And especially with the other non-winner at Hendrick and Chase Elliott, you need that boost early in the season because you know Chase is going to be really competitive, which that's an interesting point of this in that Chase still hasn't won a race this year and all three of his Hendrick teammates have. But I also think it's not a fluke win. William Byron, incredibly talented driver, got that win at Daytona a couple of years ago for his first win. And then last year winning at Homestead, flat out dominating the latter parts of that race. And that was amidst a really solid streak of finishes. But this was also in the grand scheme of the season, it's a wild card race. It's kind of like the dirt race was last year. And, you know, not to say this is the way Byron season is going to go. Last season, Joey Logano, it felt like he was just kind of there all season. He didn't do much outside of winning that race at Bristol and kind of maybe not faded down the stretch, but he was always just kind of there. That was his only win of the season. This might be Byron's only win of the season. You can say for sure this early on, but I think it's good for Byron as a whole in terms of continuing to win races. 2019, 2020, 2021, he's gotten a win each of the last three seasons. If nothing else, that type of consistency is very good for a guy as early in his career as he is.
Adam, they keep coming closer and closer, and it feels like the monkey's just going to get off of their back sooner rather than later. A second place and then a fourth place for Team Trackhouse. Chastain finishes in second, Suarez fourth. It seems to be sooner rather than later for their first win, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%, because Daniel Suarez impressed me last year, especially for a team with its first full season of competition. You know, they had four top 10 finishes courtesy of Suarez, who's bounced around a few years, and you know, from Gibbs to Stuart Haas and finally landing at Trackhouse. And he did a solid job for them this past year in the 99. They buy up Chip Ganassi Racing's assets. They're suddenly in a really good spot equipment wise. Ross Chastain comes on board with the acquisition of Chip Ganassi Racing. Kurt Busch goes to 2311. And Chastain, especially, I was convinced before the season started, I was like, Suarez has been in that car a year. He's going to get them their first win. Ross Chastain's been knocking on the door of that first win. Like the past 3 weeks, he's had so much speed. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see both of those cars, the one and the 99, win before we get to that summer stretch or even just before the halfway point of the season.
On the opposite side of things, it's been a struggle for a couple current drivers that we saw be massively successful the past couple of years. Even last year, he didn't get his first win until the playoffs in the first race, that being Denny Hamlin. But still, it does feel like the Toyotas are lacking. What's been going on with the JGR camp, Adam?
Well, it seemed like things were swinging their way at Las Vegas. You had Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. waging a pretty heavy battle in the closing laps before that caution came out and shook things up. And Hendrick was able to get that win, their second win in a row. And now they have three on the season between all three cars. Gibbs still without a win, Toyota without a win, period. And this past week, Kurt Busch, a good finish. Bubba Wallace was on track for a good finish until things on the last lap went awry. But Gibbs as a whole, I mean, Bell also ran well. It's, despite his disqualification, if he hadn't gone below the white and red line, he would have had a really solid finish to show for his race at Atlanta. Gibbs as a whole just feels like they're off. Maybe it's just figuring out the cars. Denny Hamlin, like you mentioned, not a great season so far. He's way down there in points. I feel like Kyle Busch is going to be the first Gibbs driver to break through and get a win in this car because he seems to adapt quickly, and it seemed like he was at Vegas. It seemed like he was going to win that race until that caution. I don't know what it is, and it's something I think they need to remedy pretty fast, and they're going to a few tracks that have been good to these drivers. Christopher Bell, very good at Richmond next Xfinity. Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin, very good at Richmond and Cup, Richmond's Hamlin's home track. Martinsville as well, kind of in the same area, short track. Busch and Hamlin have both won there before. And Truex as well. Martinsville has been Truex's wheelhouse these last couple of years, and especially after the frustration at Vegas being so close and then crashing at Phoenix. I think Truex is going to want a really good showing when they go to the paperclip in a couple of weeks. Circuit of the Americas too. We never really got to see how that race would have played out in the end with the monsoon. So there's a lot up in the air, and I feel like this stretch right here is where Gibbs is really going to find their stride and kind of make their imprint on this early season.
if you would have told me that Kurt Busch would be the best performing Toyota week in and week out through the first few races of the year, I would have said you're absolutely crazy. But that continues to be it, with him finishing third in Atlanta. Looking at the other Toyotas, Martin Truex Jr. finished eighth, but really wasn't competitive. Bubba Wallace was 13th. He was competitive, didn't get the finish he probably deserved. And then you have to go back 23rd for Christopher Bell, 29th for Denny Hamlin, and then rounding out after an incident with the three car of Austin Dillon, Kyle Busch in the 33rd position. Adam, final thing here before we switch over and dive into Circuit of the Americas, your overall outlook on this racing. Do we see NASCAR going in to, let's say, like a Texas or let's say like a Charlotte with this same configuration, with this same package of super speedway racing and just pack racing? Or do you see them going back like Las Vegas and just it's just regular car racing? Which side do you see?
I lean on them keeping most of the mile and a half, the traditional kind of racing, because it makes me wonder if they maybe should have waited the year on the Atlanta reconfiguration, because I really enjoyed last year's the tail end of those races. You had Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney duking it out in the spring, and Kurt and Kyle Busch, the most familial battle possible in NASCAR's Cup Series, battling it out for the win in the summer with Kurt prevailing in that one. It makes me wonder if they should have waited a year for Atlanta. I'm all in on them doing this at Texas because Texas has been wildly underwhelming these past few years. Hasn't been fun to watch. Even the All-Star race last year, when you think things would change it up, Texas really wasn't that exciting. And like you mentioned, Vegas was exciting on its own. I would keep Vegas the same way. Charlotte, I really wouldn't do anything there to the spring or to the 600, because that's about endurance. And we have the Roval changing things up in the fall, but the 600, I'd be fine keeping it the way it is. Texas, yes. Charlotte and Las Vegas, maybe not. Atlanta, honestly, kind of fine either way, because before last year, Atlanta was kind of underwhelming most years anyway. So I'm split on here. Texas, I'm all on board with. So let's get that moving. I said it. Let's get it moving.
Adam, let's take a break. We're going to dive into Circuit of the Americas coming up. Let's take a stage break. Our stage break is presented by no one. Hey, that is A-OK, though, because if you want to advertise with us, please email sales@frontstretch.com. We would love to advertise on our podcast, our website, and more. Once again, sales@frontstretch.com. White flag is out. The white flag is out. Adam, we are heading to our first road course race of the season coming up at Circuit of the Americas for the Echo Park Texas Grand Prix. 39 cars are entered, so no one will be missing the race. You got some road course ringers. Lawrence Hesmans is in it. Boris said. Who said Boris said? You got Andy Lally is in the race, and even the money team is going to be showing up with Kaz Grala. And you can't forget about Joey Hand and AJ Allmendinger, those two guys, vintage road course racers. We even saw AJ win at a road course last year at the Indianapolis Road Course IMS. But back to the Echo Park Texas Grand Prix, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Adam, last year it was a monsoon. It got rain shortened by about 12 laps. We saw Chase Elliott take it. We saw multiple wrecks. That's not going to be happening because it's going to be beautiful. I checked, it was like 82 degrees and sunshine at COTA. So it should be a beautiful, picturesque day at Circuit of the Americas. So Adam, what can we take anything what we saw last year and bring it to this year with the new car plus with the weather? Or is this just a brand new open book for teams?
I think it's a brand new open book because, okay, so you're going to have your road course guys like Chase and Allmendinger that you're going to be watching, especially those two. I'm going to have my eye on Austin Cindric as well because he didn't do terribly early on at COTA last year. He started third. He led a few laps. And then I believe he had some issues and things went south for him pretty quickly after that. But he's a road course expert. He's got a full-time ride that he's probably relatively comfortable in by now. If that win at Daytona didn't help that, I don't know what would. And Chase Elliott as well. Chase, Allmendinger, Cindric, throw Lally in there, a couple more of the ringers. And Kaz Grala is no slouch at road course as well. He nearly won it in trucks while battling with Austin Cindric. So this might be one of the money team's best shots at a win. You mentioned them. Outside of who might do well, I have no idea, because we've never seen Coda in the dry. We've seen it in both conditions with Formula One and a number of other series that race there, not with NASCAR, because last year we had Xfinity and truck in the dry weather, but not Cup. And I literally don't know what's going to happen. Last year was all over the place and the rain just kept getting worse. We had some pretty wild crashes, that one with Truex and Cole Custer that ended up with Truex almost rolling and Custer with a pretty hard hit in the guardrail. I don't know. I literally don't know what's going to happen. I really don't.
I think that's just what's great about this NASCAR season, is because there's so many unknowns that we try to preview it. But the thing is, it's just like, we truly don't know. And as much as we want to say we know, because last year we'd be like, oh yeah, Larson's going to win because he's won the past three races. We've had five different winners in five races, Adam. So we got no, which is awesome for us, because it's just the parity is, the more parity, in my opinion, that we have in the sport, it's better, because it's not domination by one certain driver, and which becomes a little boring for fans, and which maybe fans will tune out. So I personally love it. So with that being said, Adam, a couple guys that you're going to be keeping your eye on as dark horses, who could we see some people? For me, I'm going to be looking at the number two car, Austin Cindric. Great road course racer. He's always in contention when we were in the Xfinity series. Has won a handful of races there. He says he's not a road course racer or a road course specialist, but I respectfully disagree with his opinion, because he's a fantastic road course racer. So with that being said, watch out for that two car. I don't know if you call him a underdog or a dark horse, just because he's in Penske equipment and that's one of the best cars in the field in general. But I still think that you should watch out for him. Who are a couple of dark horses or a little bit of underdog Cinderella stories, since we're in the March Madness time of year, that you could be keeping your eye on?
Well, I'm going to keep riding the track house train and say Daniel Suarez, because he got them a top 20 in their second ever start last year at the Daytona road course. And I'll put him as one of my dark horses if I had to pick a second one. If I'm not going to pick Cindric, since you already picked Cindric, probably Tyler Reddick, because, and I know I've cited my interview with him quite a bit. As
you're going to be taking a drink every time he mentions the interview.
it was interesting, because he told me Fontana was a good place for them, and he looked like he was well on his way to winning that one. And he also mentioned Circuit of the Americas, and Coda is a track I feel like, you know, Chase Elliott's great at road courses, but this place, we haven't had an official cup race there in dry conditions. I think it's going to be a total free-for-all, a total wild card. Put Suarez and Reddick up there as my two picks to get their first career Cup Series wins.
You want to hear something beautiful, Adam? 82 degrees on Friday, 87 degrees on Saturday, and a pretty hot, actually, 89 degree day.
Man, in March, good Lord.
And we're talking, this is in March, late March, and we're in almost in 90 degrees. Wild, wild times, Adam. Adam, we'll do our bets in our next segment, but we, like we do every single Thursday and Friday on the podcast, we're going to be doing some picks. Who is going to be winning the first sunny edition, knock on wood, edition of the Echo Park Grand Prix at Circuit of the Americas? I'm pretty sure you went first last time, so I will go first this time. I'm going to go with the guy. No, I'm not going to pick Chase Elliott. No, I'm not going to pick Kyle Larson. I like to go outside the box. I like to be not generic. I like to be unique. I don't like to use the word weird, so I like to use the word unique. I'm not going to go with that, but I am going to go with the former winner, and that being a former winner in the Xfinity series and a former winner in the Cup series. Yes, College Racing shocked everybody at the IMS road course last year. I don't think they shock anybody this year, because they know how great AJ Allmendinger is at road courses, and they know how good these college cars are. We saw Justin Haley at the Busch Light Clash be up top five. We saw him at Daytona. They got speed. So with that being said, AJ Allmendinger is going to hand Nat Colleague and Chris Rice a trophy at the Echo Park Grand Prix in Austin, Texas.
Okay. All right. I could. No, that's a good pick. And I will go with our first repeat winner of the year. I'm going to say Austin Cindric gets his second career win at Circuit of the Americas. He had a few road courses last year. He was running well at COTA before things went south. Road America, he didn't have a great run there because of a rear gear issue. Indy GP, top 10 finish. Daytona this year, got a victory. I think we'll see that two car rolling into victory lane on Sunday afternoon. A sunny, like you said, a sunny victory lane instead of a completely drenched indoor victory lane.
It is time to throw it to the checkered flag.
Checkered flag, here I come. Oh, no!
Alrighty, Adam, as we wrap it up, filling in for Mr. Party People's Davey Siegel, let's do some bets. Could not find anything on William Hill Sportsbook. Since I don't live in a state legalized that is legalized in sports betting, I couldn't find anything. So I had to dive into my extensive research on the interwebs, and I did find some. Thank you to Action Network, actionnetwork.com, for providing me with these matchups for the Echo Park Grand Prix. Adam, let's dive into some of these matchups. First off, Joey Logano versus Denny Hamlin.
I'm going to lean Hamlin. I think he starts finding his stride this weekend.
Okay, picking the favorite. I'll pick the underdog in Logano, try to win me some money. Let's go Kevin Harvick or Kurt Busch?
Kurt Busch.
Okay, I'm going to go with Kurt Busch as well. Let's go to his brother, Kyle Busch. Kyle or his teammate in Martin Truex Jr.?
Kyle Busch.
I'm going to go with Martin Truex Jr. No matter what, they pay the exact same, minus 110. For another teammate battle, Kyle Larson versus Chase Elliott.
Ooh, they were top two at COTA last year. I got to lean Chase on that one.
Okay, I'll earn a little bit less money, but I'll still win, that being Kyle Larson. Ryan Blaney or William Bill Byron?
William Byron.
I'm going to go Ryan Blaney then. Austin Dillon or Brad Keselowski?
Ooh, I'm gonna lean Dillon here, I think. Go with the underdog.
I'll go with Dillon as well. Michael McDowell or Bubba Wallace?
Bubba Wallace.
I'm going to go with Bubba as well, make some cash. Two more, Alex Bowman or Christopher Bell?
Christopher Bell. I think last week, despite the disqualification, was a good momentum swing for him.
Christopher Bell, the favorite in this matchup. I'll go plus 115 with Alex Bowman, though. And our final one, you know my pick because I picked him for the win, AJ Allmendinger or Chase Briscoe?
Allmendinger, definitely. Right.
Good pick because I'm picking Allmendinger as well because I got him to win. Closing it out, we are closing it out here. Big thanks to Adam Cheek. Big thanks to Tom Bowles for letting myself and Adam host the pod. Davey, while you're listening to this, I hope you are in your swim trunks, cruising, maybe having a beverage or two, sitting, enjoying yourself, having the time of your life before you get
back. I think we did him proud.
I'm hoping so, buddy. I'm hoping so. Before he gets back to his 28 million jobs that he has, I feel like, up at 6 a.m., going to bed at midnight because he's working three jobs, trying to support him and the lovely Miss Robin, his girlfriend. Love both of them equally. So with that being said, big thanks to him. As always, he does a great job on the pod. He will be back in 1 week from today. But you can follow us for all of our info, analysis, and more at the Brian Nolan, at Adam in Cheek, and then at Front Stretch. Once again, at the Brian Nolan, at Adam in Cheek, and at Front Stretch. And for all the latest, go to frontstretch.com. We will have people in Austin to dive into all the latest in the NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and the trucks. We've got a three-piece, we've got a triple header in the great state of Texas. Adam, any final thoughts before we call it a show?
First road course race of the season. I'm always excited to see how these turn out. And the fact that it is a non-monsoon race is going to be a lot of fun.
3:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. You can find it for Adam Cheek, David Siegel, and everybody associated with Front Stretch. I am Brian Owen. Thank you so much for joining us. David will be back 1 week from today to recap COTA and preview Richmond.